almost went, it's time for 2 Second Trivia. I'm like, no, you already did that. It's time to go around the AFC North as we are already at week 6 in what has turned into a march towards death. But maybe not for everybody else around the AFC North. Oh, wait, we're going to have to check in on Cincinnati at some point here during this. Our first stop is in Baltimore with the very much alive Baltimore Ravens and Ken Wyman, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Ken, good morning to you.
Morning. March toward death. I like it.
Is Lamar Jackson the MVP leader in the AFC?
Yeah, I think he's better than he was a year ago at this time, and he won the MVP a year ago. And what we saw Sunday at times was frankly incredible. And the crazy part is he was going to be the GOAT of that game for that fumble, but then Cincinnati misses the field goal and the Ravens end up winning that game. They won because he put the cape on, which is like something he's done. And we've talked about this before, guys. He's got nothing left to prove in the regular season, even though he seems to keep getting better. It's about the postseason for Lamar Jackson.
So, like, when he gets MVP, like, numbers, performances, things like that, do fans in Baltimore care?
I think they get excited because, you know, people in Baltimore have a bit of a chip on their shoulder to begin with. We got D.C. to the south and Philly and New York to the north, so they have an inferiority complex. So they like the fact that they have a quarterback that gets all this attention.
Obviously, the secondary continues to be problematic for the Ravens, but is some of it excusable because you've gone up against Mahomes, you've gone up against Dak Prescott, you've gone up against, you know, Buffalo and obviously Joe Burrow?
Maybe a little, but it's been bad, and the safeties have been really bad, and they might have to think about having Kyle Hamilton play a little more deep third than he has, because Marcus Williams and Eddie Jackson have been brutally bad, and Marcus Williams is pulling off quite a feat. Last year, he was essentially playing with one arm, and he played better last year with one arm than he is so far this year with two. So I don't know how he's doing that, but he's pulled it off.
By the way, Kyle Hamilton, I mean, is he the MVP of your defense right now? All over the place.
Justin Matabike might have a word about that, but they're very fortunate. And Roquan in the middle, they have studs at every level with Matabike up front and Roquan at linebacker and Kyle Hamilton in the back third. So they are fortunate, and that's one of the more frustrating parts about why this defense is so bad, because they do have guys that are all pro level at every level.
When is the last time that the Ravens and the Commanders slash the previous names, when was the last time a matchup was this big? Like, these two teams were this good?
I don't think, man, maybe RG3 when Haloti Ngata leg whipped him and he got hurt. That might, like, I can't remember a time where the Commanders were good, to be quite honest. And the Ravens have only been around since 96. So I think this is the first time the hype is sort of high for both teams at the same time.
Do you believe that Jaden Daniels is the real deal, or is he another? I mean, people keep bringing up Robert Griffin III and his hot start and what happened there. Do you believe that Jaden Daniels can be a person who's permanent with the Washington Commanders?
You know, it's funny because we saw RG3 and we learned from RG3. I do think that this kid reads defenses a lot better than RG3 did. He is athletic as well, but he sure as heck looks real. And, like, some of the throws he makes, like that throw against Cincinnati a few weeks ago, as he's getting crushed, just drops in the bucket to McLaurin. Like, he's got some serious arm talent, and he's a freak athlete. I think he's real.
Is there a real rivalry in your city between Commanders fans and Ravens fans? Like, do you get callers?
No, not really, because they only play, like, really once every 4 years, and they're in opposite conferences, and I think Ravens fans, we've both got our own sports talk station, so we don't hear a lot from D.C. fans, and Ravens fans are more focused on the Steelers.
How far away are the cities again?
50 miles.
That's it. Would you bench Deshaun Watson?
I'd have benched him yesterday. I'd have Jameis Winston playing a long time ago. Name me a quarterback that's playing worse than Deshaun Watson right now.
I can't.
It's sad but true.
Bryce Young?
Oh, yeah, Bryce Young. He's not playing right now.
Yeah. You're not paying him. Bryce Young's not making $50 million guaranteed.
Okay. Well, I asked the question. I got the answer. Ken Wyman, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, as the Ravens get set to host the Washington Redskins, 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. We now go to Cincinnati, where the Bengals will be on the road on Sunday night at 8:20 p.m. against the New York Giants. James Rapine joins us, Locked On Bengals, Sports Illustrated down there in Cincinnati. James, is the season over in Cincinnati?
It's not over. I would have preferred that they move that 8:20 kick to maybe a 1 p.m. kick for my own selfish reasons. But no, it's not fully over, but it feels like it's on life support, right? I mean, 1-4 is something that I didn't expect. I'm not sure anyone expected out of this team. All of their losses, 4 losses, 15 total points that they've lost by. So struggling down the stretch of these games is certainly come.
What was Joe Burrow's explanation on the interception he threw in the fourth?
He said basically that he thought he made the right read. Jamar Chase took blame for it. I looked at it and it didn't feel like the right read. So, but I'm not going to necessarily question Joe and the way he's playing. At the same time, every mistake you feel to a much greater extent with this offense because of how bad the defense is playing. And so if Joe throws 400 yards and 5 touchdowns, that should be enough even with one mistake, and it wasn't.
James, does anybody in Cincinnati honestly think that you have an advantage with your head coach week in and week out?
Right now, no. I would say no.
Have they ever?
Pretty upset with Zach Taylor right now. I mean, in overtime, to not put the ball in Joe Burrow's hands even once, I think that's something, even if he admitted in hindsight that he'd still do it over the exact same way and was comfortable with it, I would be shocked if he didn't give Burrow a chance or Chase a chance with the way they were playing.
Are the Bengals front office and Jamar Chase letting Joe Burrow down?
Are the Bengals front office and
Jamar
Chase?
Is the front office and Jamar Chase letting him down?
Why would Jamar Chase be letting him down?
I don't know. It's a headline on Bengals Wire. I thought I'd ask you.
Oh no, I don't understand what that means. Front office wise, I think you could always make the case that you could push harder the way they structure contracts. You could always push harder and add more than they have at any point. Now they've added and changed the way they've done things and been more aggressive in free agency, but you can always do more. So I think you could always make the case for the front office part of it.
Would you bench Deshaun Watson if you were the Browns?
Maybe after next week's game against the Bengals. But before that, no, I would give him a few more weeks.
Why do you say that?
Obviously, I'm just kidding. No, what I would do, if Kevin Stefanski hires me tomorrow to be his assistant, what I would do is I would say, yeah, we're starting Jameis. Let's not let Ken Carmen and Anthony Limer or anyone else in Cleveland know. And we get on the field in Philly and then put Jameis out there instead of Deshaun. That's what I would do. I would do it sneak attack, not let Philly know.
Sneak attack. All right, James Rapine on Locked On Bengals down in Cincinnati as the Bengals get set to go to New York to take on the Giants, 8:20 p.m. on Sunday evening. We now welcome in Andrew Filippone, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Have we reached a loggerheads with George Pickens? Andrew Filippone.
Well, what is loggerheads exactly? Can you explain to me what loggerheads
is? Like something's got to move. Something's going to have to happen.
But what are loggerheads?
I have to Google it. I almost said I have to gaggle it because I was thinking loggerheads.
Are we at loggerheads with George Pickens? Mike Tomlin says that it's load management, that this is what happens in the NFL now. Guys play less snaps, less is more. It's complete BS. I think that we're going to see George Pickens in another uniform in 2025. At this rate, they trade behavioral issue wide receivers, and this guy's trending in that direction. They rarely give wide receivers a second contract. So, yeah, I think very soon George Pickens is going to come to a critical mass point where he forces the Steelers' hand and they trade him.
What would you say about the Justin Fields experience so far in Pittsburgh?
A little turbulence for the first time Sunday, but otherwise, Anthony, I would say a fairly smooth ride. 5 touchdowns, 1 interception, add in 3 rushing touchdowns, so that's 8-1. They've won three games. The game that they lost in Indianapolis, he played great in the fourth quarter, almost led him back. And even though there were not a lot of offense, 200-plus yards against Dallas, he led a fourth-quarter drive after he got basically knocked out of the game, unconscious, came back and played better after that, surprisingly. So I'd give him like a B-plus through the first five games.
Will Russell Wilson still be a Pittsburgh Steeler by Thanksgiving?
Oh, yes. But I'm like 51-49% on that, Ken.
Are people calling for him at all?
Yes. Yes, many. Because of Super Bowl pedigree, because he quote-unquote reads the defense better, because he throws the ball downfield more. And I think the biggest one is they believe that Mike Tomlin will loosen up the offense and play maybe more of a freewheeling offense with Russell Wilson because the trust factor is there. He will bow down to a guy that's done a lot of winning in this league instead of playing it so safe with Justin Fields.
Are the kids wearing eye black to support Russell Wilson?
Russell Wilson? Why would kids wear eye black?
He was spotted wearing eye black despite not even really taking part in practice.
Well, he was an emergency third quarterback, and as soon as Justin Fields went out, you should have seen the fervor that was created on the sideline and the intensity of his warm-up throws. I heard people in the press box saying they've never seen a guy who was dressed third warm up with such a sense of purpose than Russell Wilson Sunday night.
Has he immersed himself in the Pittsburgh community? Has anybody seen him or Sierra?
Oh, they go everywhere. They were at a fashion show on Friday. They've gone to, I'm guessing they're going to be at the Penguins home opener tonight. Maybe a ceremonial first puck drop is in the cards for Russell Wilson and his family.
Wow. Andrew Filippone, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Devontae Adams, is he a trade target again?
Oh, absolutely.
Is that wishful thinking or is that realistic?
Oh, no, that's Dan Graziano said that this morning, Ken.
The Graz.
Yes, we've got Graz on it. And Jeremy Fowler, let's also add him.
The very dapper.
Diana Russini has said aggressively pursuing Devontae Adams. So we've got some of the heaviest hitters in football saying the Steelers absolutely in the mix on the Raiders wide receiver.
What would make you pull out and say no for a Devontae Adams trade?
I don't want to do a second round pick for him. So I prefer to do third plus than second plus.
Would you redo a contract?
I would, but the Steelers don't believe in that. They have a very strict policy of not negotiating with players in season.
Okay. Would you bench Deshaun Watson if you were the Browns?
Would I bench Deshaun Watson? Yes, of course I would. You know, that gets me to that. Have you guys seen John Fanta's videos on this?
Yeah, we talked to him about it yesterday. He came on the show, 6:40.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, he's very adamant about it. I'd say yes, I'd absolutely bench him for Jameis Winston.
Well, I didn't need John Fanta's opinion on it today. We got it yesterday. Yeah. I needed your opinion on it today.
Well, why is it that when Fanta's on, you don't talk over him and give him a hard time, but now you're doing it to me?
I didn't talk over you. I am giving you a bit of a hard time.
You talk over people and give them a hard time all the time.
Have you seen Mark Madden's take on Russell Wilson and the eye black?
I have not. Do you have it right now?
Oh, my God. It was explosive.
You better be careful.
I mean, I haven't reacted to someone else's reaction like that in quite some time.
Better than Ilkin and Barrasso? Did they say anything at 6 a.m. about this?
No, they did not.
Okay, just wondering.
Andrew Filippone, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Time to end it now before he says something we have to dump. As they get ready to take on the Las Vegas Raiders on Sunday at Las Vegas, 4:25. There you go. Three yeses.
Kenny, have you been checking in with anybody you know down in Florida?
I have.
I told you I've been consumed with the hurricane coverage because we have some loved ones down there. And we also have a wedding there. Selfish reasons, so I'll just be honest. In a month, we have a wedding there in a place called Longboat Key. And that is right in the path of Hurricane Milton, which I think right now the update is it did not lose any steam overnight. And obviously this is going to have repercussions for everything, and you'll be hearing about it for NFL, for, you know, college football. It's gonna touch everything. It's going to touch everything, obviously, because this is
something they are. Places. Nice.
Yeah, they are really scared about not only the hurricane, the storm surge, the flooding, and everything that's going to happen down there. So with that said, I did come across something, because you look for levity in times like this. You do. Unfortunately. But okay. Sometimes that's what you have to do. Have you seen the guy they are calling Lieutenant Dan?
No.
So I have to bring this to your attention, and please. Mitch hadn't seen it. Owen, you hadn't seen it either. See, I'm just watching too much of this coverage. I think that's the problem.
You came in and had a full-on breakdown of everything that's going in there.
Yes, and this guy
meanwhile,
has interest.
I caught up on shows that I hadn't seen the last only night thing, watched some baseball.
The only thing I saw was the guy who put the ratchet straps over his entire house.
Yes.
Like six of them.
And how does he have them anchored down?
I would imagine with stakes in the ground.
And does he know what's going to happen to the ground?
I don't know. Did we think that far through? Whatever works, maybe it'll work. I hope it works.
I hope it works
for with him. The wind than the water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe
some people are concerned with the water.
So what's with the Lieutenant Dan guy?
This guy looks like a certified psychopath who's trying to come up with a way to stay safe.
Well, I'm not going to say that now, just yet. Let's hear this
fellow. Okay, let's
out.
Hear him out. Now, he is zigging while everybody else is zagging. Everybody's like, hey, we got to drive up north. Some people are driving south to Miami, where it looks like the coast is clear. All right, down to Fort Lauderdale, Miami. The gas situation is really rough, so people that were trying to go up north can't anymore because there's no more gas if you didn't go ahead of time. And some people are just riding it out. He has a different way to ride it out.
The water's going to come in. It's going to rise. If you're on land, it's going to flood. You're risking drowning. I'm in a boat. The boat goes up with the water. So even if the boat goes up 100 feet in the air, I'm going to be up 100 feet in the air with the water. So it's really the safest place in the world to be is on my boat. And I got room for one more female.
Now, Kenny,
holy cow.
Is that a tempting offer, first of all? Second of all, I have to say, this is the type of logic that I would use when I was in fifth grade. This is a grown man. This is something I absolutely would have said when I was in fifth grade. Why don't they just go out on the water? The water will go up.
How did Noah take care of it?
Exactly. Now, if you're a man of faith.
Tell me you're smarter than Noah.
So.
He says he's got room for one more female.
How do we think?
Two of every creature.
How do we think this is going to end up? Because apparently he has done this in the past.
Well, I think we know how we think.
This is like a 20-foot boat. This is not the ark that, you know, my only knowledge is going to Oral Roberts University and going in their ark exhibit. But it was a massive structure that could withstand the winds. I don't know that the 20-foot boat has that same capability to not get tossed around like a crazy person.
I mean, have you seen some of the videos and pictures that have come in from space?
I've seen enough hurricane coverage in the past to know that boats that size usually end up lodged in someone's house.
I've seen enough hurricane coverage in the last 2 weeks to know that.
Oh, this boat's going to be the first thing that goes.
This is
before any of the surges. This is before the This will just be a rainstorm outside. He's not going
to
survive.
The preamble to the hurricane.
Yeah.
As Lieutenant Dan comes flying past.
That thing's not going to survive 30-mile-an-hour winds.
No.
This thing is getting up over 100.
Oh, buddy. No one's trying to talk him out of this?
Oh, this saying 180 miles per hour these winds could get up to. And it was over Cancun, I think, yesterday. I saw somebody this morning flying to Cancun. I guess this is the time to do it.
He's
right
a grown
after.
Man. He can say whatever he wants. He can do whatever he wants. But man. Doesn't seem he's putting anybody else at harm.
So, Kenny, is this why you told me you want no part of ever moving down there?
There's two things to it. One, like, I don't think I'll ever get to retire, but if I do, Florida is not in the cards. My grandparents lived in Florida 8 months out of the year back when I was a kid. I went down there a couple times, never was interested once in living down there. I've been there a bunch of times. Never have I said I want to live here when I get, and I know I'm in the minority, and it's not just because of that. It's not because of just hurricanes. Like hurricanes, we all have our risks of weather. I know that we've had a record number of tornadoes outbreak in Ohio. I think it might be a state record, at least in one of the months. I think it was, this is just one. I like to have a winter of some sort because it makes me appreciate the summer that much better. Two, I don't want to live in Florida. I never want to live in Florida. I never, ever, 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 ever want to live there. No, not a chance. I can't see myself living in any other state for that matter.
Oh, and you love Florida. You love going there.
No. We go to two different parts of Florida. We take the kids to one part, and then my wife and I go to a completely opposite part. And I have always talked about as soon as the kids graduate high school,
you're down there.
You said, remember, you said this. This is right. When you retire, you're going to what in Key West?
Oh, before I retire, I'm probably, as soon as this is done, I'm probably going down to drive the trolleys and give the
tours.
That's
right. That's right. It's a real plan he wants to do.
His family's basically, they're nudists. And, you know, Key West.
Yeah.
You don't ever have to put clothes on.
Well, he and his wife can do whatever they want in their free time.
That's how I keep this tan.
I do not. One, I do not care if you're a nudist. Two, if it were a kink, I'm certainly not going to kink shame. You guys like what
Thank
you like.
You.
But if
Thank you for not shaming me and my wife.
Has
finally.
Any of this, well, I'm, you know, at least one of us here is progressive on this show. I can't say the same for old what's-his-name over there, and God knows what he and his wife do. Anyway, does this make you think twice any of this stuff?
No.
I mean, it happens, like, it seems like it's happening 8 times a year.
No.
Now.
Well, and it's October. I mean, we are sitting here in the second week of October.
Like I said, we go to two different places in Florida. They couldn't be further apart from each other, especially the way that the state is shaped. We go to the Panhandle for the spring break with the kids, and then we go to the Keys, me and my wife. That's where we got married at. And I think there's a lot of people going, oh, Florida is getting hit again. These are different parts of Florida.
Right, it's
These
kind
are
of
not the same parts.
Yeah,
of Florida
it's kind of moving
time.
Around, and I guess we've always said like people
grew
that
up
live
in
here.
Tornado Alley, I'm cool.
Yeah, nobody makes fun of the weather here more than Clevelanders, where we talk about how cloudy, how dreary, how rainy, how few perfect days we get.
It makes me enjoy the perfect days that much more.
But I almost wonder, like, can you make an argument if this is going to be Florida every year? I mean, you're uninsured down there. You get the insurance companies are fleeing.
That's the only thing that changes it.
They are fleeing Florida. You have to be a multimillionaire to be able to really have any kind of protection.
Like you and I have a very good friend who lives down there, and he's like, you know, I'm in the Orlando area. It should be fine. Like for whatever reason, the people from Orlando, I shouldn't say whatever reason. I'm sure there's a meteorological reason for it, but the people in Orlando, every time I got several friends there, and they just say, oh, we're fine. That's fine. Don't worry about it.
Well, they're pretty inland.
Well, see, I don't.
But this is in the path.
It just seems like the whole straight.
It'll
in the
weaken
path,
once it hits
right
land. But it
land.
Is. Yeah. What's it going to be at the point?
I
it
mean,
gets there?
People on the East Coast. It's coming from the West Coast, the Gulf side, and people on the East Coast are still, you know, going to get some pretty good remnants. Not like what they're going to get on the Gulf side.
Library Met on Twitter. In my previous career, I was a meteorologist. Barring a miracle, this man is going to die. I feel really bad for him.
I feel like this is a certainty. It's not even a, oh, whatever.
He says he's done it before.
Yeah, I can't believe that. What if this guy's right? What if it ends up he's right?
I hope he is.
What if
man,
it ends
I don't
up
want
that
some
this
guy.
This is the guy to do it.
I just don't want anybody else to get the crazy idea to try it. Like, if he makes it through, I don't want a bunch of other people, because there's obviously going to be more hurricanes. Right. I don't want a bunch of other people doing this. I would hope that they don't, but who the hell knows? There were people eating Tide Pods years ago. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
What was the new Whippet craze?
Oh, yeah.
Which I was supposed to make a big deal about that. I'm like, yeah, we did Whippets back in the day.
Yes, something like that. The high school kids were making TikTok videos about it. And then the problem is they're driving
No, we just sat in the woods when we did the Whippets. We didn't drive anywhere. It's actually kind of close to the Shame Bush where we did the Whippets.
Mm-hmm. How'd it feel? I never did it.
You had a Whippet willow over
there.
Was
it worth it?
I had the same sensation when Axel was born. Because I did not cry when Axel... I didn't cry when any of my children were born. I'm an emotional guy. It was just like this incredible feeling of life. And I remember my head... I thought my head was going to explode. It just went, whoa, 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 whoa. And that's what Whippets do.
For 3 seconds?
It's like your introduction into drugs, man. Yeah.
And again, we are not endorsing that.
We don't condone that. Yeah. I don't condone being in a boat during any of this stuff. And I certainly don't condone Whippets. We are on record as a show. We don't condone either of that.
Let the record show. We have to be professional about this.
Tommy says, give me Virginia Beach. There's no other part of the country I want to live. Permanently. I'll visit other parts of the country.
You used to be hot on Milwaukee, but...
No.
Hot on that? No.
No. No. No, it's just not as nice Cleveland. Milwaukee is. How do you like that? All right, so if the Guardians win today, what do you want to do tomorrow?
Have fun, scream and shout. Pep rally.
Well, there's probably wear my eye black in.
You could do that like Russell Wilson. You're talking about game four starter?
There's a little bit of a problem. You see, you have game four that's on Thursday. That's tomorrow. So you can't really scream. I mean, you can be excited. Yeah, I want you to be excited.
Yeah.
But I don't think you can sit there and scream and shout and do all those other things.
Now, obviously, we will feel so much better. It'll be crazy if they lost today. We'd be thinking, is that it? Are we coming back to Cleveland? Are we even getting to a game five? So you got to win today. Come on. You're the better team. Win the game today.
Doesn't matter how, if they were to.
No.
They were to lose the game, does it matter? Would it change the dire situation that tomorrow would
be? If they lose?
Yeah.
The Guardians.
Yeah, like say it's a walk-off. I mean, it's a home game for Detroit, so they could have a walk-off where we play good and then just something gets away from us. Is there anything that
we're doing a lot of what-ifs here, man.
We're still positive on.
No.
Welcome to Sports Talk Radio.
I'll be very nervous. Yeah, true.
That's what it is.
I'll be very nervous. I'd be just terrified tomorrow. Very nervous tomorrow if they lose today. Then the pressure's on. It's such a weird matchup. Both these teams want to be the underdog. That's why, like, if you play the Yankees next, it's, like, so easy. Like, America's going to want you to win.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So everybody wants that. With this, I mean, the Tigers weren't expected to be here, but were they expected to be here? Plenty of people lined up was like, hey, Ken, there's plenty of people who picked the Tigers to win the division, including the Derry brothers said that there were plenty of people picking the Tigers to win the division. I was so focused on us being picked to finish fourth in the division.
Yeah, but now we won. They also traded their number two starter, right, Flaherty, right before the deadline because
they sold. They did not buy. Yes.
Well,
and then I mean, they think got about lucky how crazy that is.
Baez left the lineup, and they've been great since he left the lineup.
Well, they were like eight games.
Underwood was making fun of him on the air.
Yeah, they were like 32-13 since they made that trade.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a hell of a record to have. They were eight games under 500, so they finally were to where they were supposed to be, but it feels because they haven't been in the postseason for 10 years. They feel like they're plucky. A lot of fans seem to be enjoying them, but it's not like we're the bad guys here. It's the Guardians. I think the Guardians are always the underfunded, small market team that Buster Olney loves, that all the big baseball people love because we do it the quote-unquote right way, the whole thing, all that stuff. Doesn't mean a damn thing to a fan. Fans just want to win. You know, Buster Olney, if we lose this series, Buster Olney ain't going to make me feel any better when he says, well, the Guardians really deserve to win with how well their front office runs things. No, I understand that, and that's great, but that's not going to make me feel any better. And I don't think it's going to make a Guardians fan feel any better. If they win today, I'm really fighting the urge, though, to go with... Because it would be the fifth day, so he'd be ready to go. I'd be fighting the urge to not pitch Tanner Bibee and try to get the hell out of there. Knowing that, God, if he got hit around, then all of a sudden you're in game five against Tyler Skubal.
Well,
you don't have your best guy.
The fortunes in a five-game series, they just mess with your head. They torment you. You know, the better team doesn't always win. That's just not how this sport really works. And then add to the fact that they've got the best guy. And if you have to see him twice, and then that second time your season's on the line and you're an underdog, like, yeah, this isn't easy. This isn't for the faint of heart.
What do we think makes more sense?
You mean in terms of starting game four?
Because if we win today, 2-1, I wake up tomorrow, I'm the manager of the Guardians.
Yeah,
like, they already have a plan, but let's go with this. I wake up tomorrow, I'm going, you know what? All right, tonight I go, Tanner Bibee's going to pitch. He's going to pitch tomorrow. We're going to go for the gusto. We're trying to get out of here. If we lose, and then we were to lose game five, can you go after? You're going to go after me as a manager anyway. Can I go after you for going for the gusto and trying to win the series and getting to the ALCS?
I think that's precisely what you have to do.
Okay, so you would pitch Tanner Bibee tomorrow then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you'd have to. It's interesting that maybe they're playing a little bit of chess right now. Because
it is certainly a game of cat and mouse.
So when he says, like we played the audio earlier, when he was acting vague, when he was acting like, oh, we're only thinking about this game. I mean, come on. Steven Vogt has been around the block a long time. Whether or not he's been a manager, I don't think it matters. I mean, they were thinking about especially with these day offs. I mean, listen to Steven Vogt hear what he talked about when asked about who would start game four.
We don't know exactly what we're going to do yet. You know we have Tanner available. We've got a lot of things at our disposal, but we have not put our heads together yet on game four. We're concerned with tomorrow, and then we'll reconvene. I should have an answer for you guys tomorrow.
Would a bullpen game be an option in that situation, or is that something that...
We haven't even begun to talk about that scenario yet. So, again, the cadence we've had all year is win today, worry about tomorrow. So, like I said, we should have an answer for you tomorrow.
Wait, yesterday...
They already have an answer. They're just not going to give
sure,
it to us today.
I think everybody understands
that. Well, I mean, the Tigers
that.
Haven't even given you an answer on for who's today. Starting today.
For today.
So just, why would you go they, ahead and put out your plan?
So you can't lose to a team with one starter. I mean, that would be the killer in all this. A really good starter, but one starter in a five-game
well,
series.
We're kind of in the same boat. It's just that their one starter is well, Matthew Boyd's good. So technically,
and
they have two
good.
Starters. And he's been good. So, but it's still like it's a new experience. So our rotation is better than theirs. I would have confidence. Would you have confidence in Matthew Boyd then in just game five and you'd be fine with it?
Oh, I mean,
then you can just go with Tanner. If you have that much confidence in Matthew Boyd.
Kenny, he already, maybe it's the you throw out the pressure thing and there's the relationship that, you know, Boyd has with Scooble. He's not like intimidated by him.
They walked out of the building together after game two.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Bosom buddies over there. I mean, they know each other very well, obviously. And Scooble has talked about, you know, him as kind of almost like a mentor slash friend. So in a way, does that take some of that mental edge? I know we're looking to game five already, and we still have big games to play, but he was not intimidated by him in the first game. So wouldn't it stand to reason that that might be your matchup?
Okay, so let's do it. Go ahead.
Well, the other thing I just want to throw out there, though, we're assuming if Bybee starts, Bybee's winning, right? That's our assumption, and yeah. I think Stephen Vogt has to do that, too. If you don't pitch him until Saturday in a game five, you don't get him until game three, which is next Thursday of the ALCS. If you pitch him tomorrow.
Oh, that's a good point. I mean, I know you're not.
The ALCS starts on Monday. You would get him. It would be a rush to get him out for game one, but you'd have him by game two of the ALCS.
So if they win today, I would definitely pitch by. Then I'll pitch Bybee tomorrow. And then I would pitch, if I had to, if they lost, I'd be comfortable with Matt Boyd on game five. Is when I would do that. Okay.
Yeah, I feel good with that plan.
All right.